All right, this is the second part. Behold Moses. In Malachi chapter 4, let's start at the first verse. For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But to you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stock. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all of Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. The end of the Old Testament. All right, the Old Testament is Jesus concealed. The New Testament is Jesus revealed. I want to look at this particular, I had to take this in context of what is this? The Moses, remember the law of Moses. This is our conditional contract. This day is coming where everything's going to be burned down and the wicked are going to be removed. There's neither root nor branch. But those that fear my name, God, the Son of Righteousness, shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts, the Adonai Sabaoth, the Lord of the armies of heaven. All right, you're going to tread this down, but God is doing this. You're actively participating through obedience. Go here, do this, do that. But it is the Lord that's doing the work. And here are the contingent clauses. Remember you, the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded to him in Horeb for all of Israel with the statutes and judgment. These are the nation laws. The law of Moses is a law to bring a nation out of Egyptian occult serpent worship religion, to bring deliverance by the staff that was raised, what was it? The bronze serpent. All these people were bitten by serpents. Let's look at the passage in Numbers 21, that describes this incident. Numbers 21:5, and the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Okay, so with their mouths they were speaking, complaining. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. Okay, it was their tongue was taken over and accusing God and Moses. And it's about the tongue. The serpent has a split tongue. He's always trying to deceive and malign and slander, lie and speak against among the people. And they bit the people. And much people of Israel died because the words were wrong. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray unto the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Now, I want to share with you why this is such an issue. Because in Egypt, okay, and if you'll remember the incident here, the Egyptians worshipped serpents. So in Exodus 4, 3, and let's go into Exodus 7, 9. And when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, okay, so about speaking and saying, show us a miracle, for you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Why? Because Egyptian religion, the book of the dead, Okay, this is the religion of death and the serpent. Why? Because in the Garden of Eden, the serpent spoke and deceived Eve. He was more subtle than the rest. And because she listened to him and came into agreement with him, sin and death came into the world. And the Egyptians worshipped serpents. They had occult powers and they worshipped death. And Moses and Aaron went unto Aaron, and they did so as the Lord commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called all the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod, God's rod, okay, swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart that he hearkened not unto them. All right, let's go back to why the serpents were an issue. Because they complained. They spoke against, they came into agreement. And they spoke against God and Moses in Numbers 21. What have you brought us out of Egypt? Okay, Moses the great deliverer. And now we're going to die. No. They're not going to die because God's delivering them, and they're going to go through troubles in their deliverance from death. And there's no bread, neither is water, and our soul loathes this light bread, which was manna, bread from heaven. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people. This is okay. This is, you're in agreement. Here comes the fiery serpents. And they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. So the sting of death, the wrong words in your mouth, okay? But there is a right word. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, oh, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you, and pray unto the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make you a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looks upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass. Brass is judgment. And put it on a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in Ob-Olah. So the serpent on the pole is the insignia. It pointed to Jesus on the cross, crushing the head of the serpent at his feet. Let us look at John 3:10. The actual verse is 14, but I want to keep it in context. When Jesus was speaking privately and secretly with Nicodemus, and Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders at the time. And in Jesus' words, Jesus answered and said unto him, are you a master of Israel and know not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man ascends into heaven, but he that came down from heaven. The Lord right here says, he came from heaven. He was in heaven before he came. And he's going to ascend back to heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's his name, Yahshua, Savior. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that does truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought of God. Here we said, Jesus said he was the sign of being lifted up by the serpents, that and that sin of becoming in agreement and speaking against God and against the things of God and speaking against, oh my, the servants of God, the death. They came in agreement with the serpent, with the sting of the viper, the poison of death. And that this is the Egyptian gods. It's the same old God. It's the serpent. It's the dragon. It's the liar. It's the deceiver. And the song of Moses is the song of deliverance. And this brought, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I shall draw all men nigh to me. He meant the sign that he was on the cross, where he crushed the head of the serpent under his feet when he took our sins and sicknesses. But we have to believe in him. This is the song of Moses. Well, let's take this a step further in 2 Corinthians 11, where Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. Would you to God that you could bear with me in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so that your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth that another Christ, whom we have not preached, or if you received another spirit, okay, the spirit of Elijah, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of fire, the spirit of cleansing. If you receive another spirit, which we have not received, we have to go after the apostolic spirit taught by the original apostles, not by some new doctrines from new apostles. This is good enough. It's the B-I-B-L-E. And we can't twist the word of God according to our understanding. The word of God is straight up. It comes under the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the word in the spirit. It's Moses. This is a word. And it says in Malachi, you need to keep my laws and my statutes. Well, how can we do that? That's for a nation, a civil laws, moral laws, but it's self-government. We cannot do that until we come to the cross. This self-government in which we have a new heart, we have a circumcised heart. It's not a heart of stone. We've been circumcised. Our flesh has been circumcised, as it says in Jeremiah. And the Holy Spirit comes in and writes his laws and commandments in our hearts. We keep the law by the Spirit of God. Before we couldn't. They were external observances. But you come and preach another Jesus. He that comes, oh, there are other Jesuses. They can come and preach other Jesuses, but don't be beguiled by these other Jesuses that the scriptures have not taught. If it's not taught in the word, okay, you're being beguiled. If it's another doctrine. So I says in Jude, in the last day there would be false teachers, and the false teachings lead to false prophecies, false prophets. The spirit of prophecy is the spirit of Jesus, and it lines up with the clear, direct, straight up word of God in context. Or if you received another spirit, you have to test the spirits. Even the angels, they're posers. They come and they imitate Jesus Christ, and they say they're this or that. Shouldn't be looking. He's talking to the Corinthians. Paul says, you think you have all these great revelations of angels and everything else. I'm telling you, don't be beguiled. For if you have another gospel. There are other gospels. And how are these other gospels preached? Through the beguiling subtleties. So that your mind becomes corrupted. Because the battlefield is in your mind. You might bear, which you have not accepted, you might bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest apostles, Paul says, but though I was rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest in you in all things. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted? Because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely. I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you, I was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking to my brethren, which came from supply and all things. I kept myself from being burdensome to you, so I will keep myself. In truth of Christ is in me. No man shall stop me of this boasting and the reason of acting out. Okay, in truth. We have to realize this really is about the truth in Christ. So when Herod said, what is truth? He was under a Roman system, that was truth, Roman justice, which was arbitrarily and humanistic according to what Roman law and government wanted. It was not according to the Torah, okay? This is the law of Moses laid down for a nation to rule it. And he, you know, his situation, all things, well, if it's my truth and it works for me. And what did it say? The law of Moses, which I commanded, the statutes and the judgments. How about the Ten Commandments? First four commandments, worship God. Shall have no other gods before me. Okay, their idols can be people or ministries or anything. And all of a sudden you're going to fly to their defense and you've gone in this caustic, you know, tongue that you raised up against God has sent to you, and you have not come in a spirit of gentleness, and you haven't searched out the scriptures yourself to see. The straight up, direct reading of the word. The word and the spirit. Test those spirit. Don't talk to me about signs and wonders. It says about the people that came out of the wilderness. And the wilderness in Hebrews chapter 3, it was talking about the day of temptation, okay? Let's talk about Moses. Hebrews 3 was faithful in all his house, for this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses. Who is this? Jesus. Inasmuch as he that builds a house has more honor than a house, for every house is built by some man. But he that builds all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. As Jesus said in John, when he was talking to the religious leaders, he said, if you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me because he wrote about me. But since you don't believe Moses, how can you believe me? So believing in Jesus Christ and his work is believing in Moses, is believing in his statutes and ordinances and seeing them made manifest. Do you have any other gods? What are you speaking? Do you know the truth? Or are you going to crucify those that God has been sent to you? Because you like you little idols of ministries or money. In this case, in Corinthians, it was about the money, wasn't it? Isn't that what it's always about, the money? And I have a position, I'm somebody. But Christ is a son over his own house. Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end? Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. See, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works for 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. I wept over them and said, they do always err in their hearts and they have not known my ways. But they say they have. But they got their idols over here. See, they still had idol worship. Gods, star gods, Rephaim and cow, you know, asp, I think it's called Aspi. You know, they worship cows. And these evidence have been found in Saudi Arabia on the camps of Jabal al-Lawaz. They were worshiping God and they had those idols over here. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So take heed, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sins. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in and to the end. While it's said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as they did in the day of provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Okay, so some people got hard hearts and they provoked God. But with whom was he grieved for 40 years? Which ones were they he grieved with? Who were they grieved with? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not, So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let me just finish this session with the issue here is preaching the gospel of Christ and not another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. These three things are we have to line up, the spirit, the word, that this is the accurate representation of Jesus. Because what? The serpent is more subtler than all the others and is paramount in his deceptions. Let's look at the serpent. There's two places. We should, Leviticus 27 speaks of Leviathan, that great ancient dragon, and also Revelation 12. This serpent was cast out of heaven, and he is, which he accuses us before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Revelation 12:11. And therefore rejoice ye heavens and you that dwell, and woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw, or that old serpent, it was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man child. And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out his mouth water as it fled after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon, what is the dragon? It's a flood. It's another spirit. It's another spirit. It can look like a lamb, but it has the voice of a dragon. And Leviathan had a burning lamp that came out of his mouth, a strange fire. And it's very subtle, this deception. And the dragon was wroth with a woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep what? The commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. What? The Ten Commandments, straight up. It's all there. Jesus said, it's all in this. The rich man came to Jesus and said, oh, Lord, I've kept all the commandments. And Jesus loved him. He says, well, Lord, what are the greatest commandments? And the next thing Jesus said, the rich man, because he knew that his idol was money. Go sell all you have and give it away to the poor and come and follow me. Huh? Or how about this, you know, all the law and the teacher of the law came and said, what's the greatest commandment? Said, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. And all this, the law and the prophets are fulfilled. And love is very definite. It's not lust. It's not, oh, I love you, homosexuality. It's not any of that. It's loving the truth. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, love always rejoices with the truth. Because that is the embodiment of the song of deliverance that Moses sang when they came out of the Egyptian serpent-worshipping religions.